Hello, and welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast, hosted by Enterprise Management Associates, an industry-leading IT analyst research firm that provides deep insights across the full spectrum of IT and data management technologies. The Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast will take a deep dive into the security topics that are top of mind for information security practitioners, IT professionals, and technology business leaders. Join security experts Chris Steffen, VP of Research at EMA, and Ken Buckler, Research Analyst at EMA, for some truly awesome topics. Chris and Ken, take it away.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the Cybersecurity Awesomeness podcast. I am your host. My name is Chris Steffen. Joining me today, as usual, is my friend and colleague, Mr. Ken Buckler. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about IoT, specifically, what in your house is IoT? And I will bet you, you don't know everything in your house or your business that is IoT, but the bad guys probably do. And so there's been a couple of interesting CVEs recently talking about things that need to be updated or else kind of thing, because they have a security vulnerability that the bad guys have proven that they are going to exploit. They are exploits that you as a consumer probably don't want exploited in your house, so on and so forth. So without further ado, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what you can do to try to save yourself from some of these exploits. But Ken, why don't you talk about the latest exploit that kind of spurred this conversation?
Yeah, so this was last week. There was an exploit that got announced that LG TV owners should update their firmware because there was a vulnerability in the web OS that allowed root access, basically administrative access to the TV through a couple different series of vulnerabilities. And what's really interesting about this is it actually, you know, so it requires a chain of vulnerabilities to be executed in order to grant that access. But also at the same time, the TechSpot used Shodan to look at how many of these TVs are on the internet and vulnerable. And they found 91,000 of them online, most of them in South Korea or Hong Kong, but some of them in the U.S. and Sweden. And it's really fascinating to me that we've got people that are just putting their smart devices out directly exposed on the internet. And they probably don't even realize it's happening, but it's just creates such a security nightmare for them.
Yeah, there's no question that this is going on. I have a TV. It's a smart TV. It is connected to the internet, so on and so forth. I will tell you that I have it to check for updates every time that it turns on. So I guess first thing in the morning, the first thing it does is go out and check and see if there's an update. And if there was obviously a vulnerability, it checks for that update, applies the update, and we live happily ever after. I don't know how often it's and again, this all speaks to the problem. I don't know how often it's actually updating itself. I know that I want it to update itself regularly. I'm glad that it does update itself regularly. But at the same time, I just don't pay that much attention to my smart TV and how it's going to update. We were talking, obviously, before we started this, so many devices exist out there. I mean, anything from the smart TVs that we're talking about to your refrigerator, which is a big deal. It has cameras, it has internet connectivity, even to a degree, some of them, and I'll let you talk a little bit about this, have like payment details and so on and so forth. That's ridiculous, but you can see why these are such unbelievable, attractive objects for the bad guys to take over. Never mind the lateral movement that I can get into a smart TV, get into a smart refrigerator or whatever have you. There's such thing as smart toothbrushes, believe it or not. Again, not making that up. That you can literally move from your toothbrush to your thermostat to your home computer because you have a flat network at your house and they're all on the same network. And so these are problems, right? These are problems that people just don't spend a lot of time thinking about. Talk a little bit about like what some of the exploits are and what some of the concerns are going to be.
Well, I mean, the biggest concern is that an attacker could absolutely get into these smart devices and then use it as a foothold to access the rest of the network. And actually, if you remember the Target breach several years back, that was how Target got their payment systems compromised, was an attacker got in through the HVAC system, which was, you know, basically an Internet of Things slash OT device. And they got in through that HVAC system, and then they used that to laterally move through the rest of the network and get access to whatever they wanted. But, you know, so, you know, and if you really think about it, there, you know, some of these devices, you don't think about it, but yes, they're absolutely going to be issues. Like, for example, you know, just looking here in my room right now, in my office, I see two smart lights, an Amazon Echo. I can't say her name, but everyone knows her name. If I say her name, she'll start talking to me in the middle of the podcast, as well as a couple Bluetooth audio devices that either I use or my wife uses, you know, when we're on the computer and you know, doing gaming. So there's definitely a lot of these smart devices, and some of them might not even necessarily have direct internet connection, but they're still connected to other things. They're still able to connect to other things. And sometimes you don't realize that those connections can take place.
Well, yeah. And then, like I said, I think that when you start looking at the fact that nearly all of our networks are flat, none of us have a, I shouldn't say none of us, because I certainly did at one point. I don't have as much anymore. A micro-segmented network using software-defined perimeter solutions on your home network. If you do, bravo. I mean, you're in the same geek squad that we are, right? But most of us don't, right? And so our TV and entertainment and IoT devices in our house do not belong to a specific network. I do have a guest network. I do actually have a public network that people can access when they come to my house. I actually have a private network here to do my personal stuff. And I actually have another additional network that does nothing but my work-related stuff that we're using at this very moment. So I am that geek, right? I am that geek that does have segmented networks based on what their use are. But it still doesn't change the fact that if you got onto the home network, that there could be potential of gaining access to whatever other devices are out there. And there are plenty. You mentioned the Target breach. There was another breach. This was, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, where, again, talking about flat networks, somebody was able to get into the thermostat at a major casino and from there gain access to their entire player rewards database. Not making this up. I'm not going to name the casino. Take a look at them. It really did happen. This is a real thing. The point being is that the bad guys really, really, really like the ability to get a foothold in your network. They don't care about your TV. They don't necessarily care about your refrigerator, apart from the fact that there is a camera there and they might be able to exploit that somehow too. I know a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to some of those cameras sometimes. Maybe you don't even know that there's a camera there. I promise you that there is one and you probably should be aware of that. But they want to take and gain access to your network. And from your network, they can get access to your computer. From your computer, they, you know, have the keys to the kingdom, right? They can go pretty much do whatever they want, install some kind of malware and ransomware and lock up your computer. And again, they're not going to charge you, you know, you're not Bob's Big Bank and Trust. They're not going to charge you $20 million to unlock your computer. Maybe they charge you $100. And that gives you all the pictures of your kid's second birthday. Okay, well, is $100 worth it? Probably, maybe. I mean, because that's what they're thinking. That's the kind of dangers that we're talking about here. The big corporations, in theory, I hope that they're thinking about it. I hope that they have something they can do with it. On the consumer side, we don't spend a lot of time thinking about the fact that our TV is an IoT device and needs to be secured just like we would secure and put antivirus on our computer, just like we would try to secure our networks, just like to an extent where we would try to do what we can to secure our phones. I am telling you, most people don't think about securing their toothbrush. They're not thinking about securing their refrigerator. They're not thinking about securing their TV, which is why we're talking about it so people are aware about it.
You know, one of the things that I always do too, and printers are an absolutely huge access point into networks. Some people don't realize it. So most people have wireless printers now where it connects to your Wi-Fi network. But what people don't realize is a lot of those wireless printers also have Bluetooth connections. And those Bluetooth connections are typically unsecured, which means theoretically, if there's a exploit available for that printer, which most of them have a lot of open exploits that, you know, people just don't patch because they don't realize they need to patch their printer. So now I could be walking down a street I scan for open Bluetooth connections. I find a printer that's accepting Bluetooth connections. I go into that printer. I log in to it, use an exploit on it. Now I can use that printer as an access point to the rest of your Wi-Fi network, the rest of your local network, and I never even had to crack into your Wi-Fi network. I'm bypassing your Wi-Fi network. So it's that kind of things when it comes to the Internet of Things devices where we really need to have a lot of awareness on how interconnected they are, and not just the Wi-Fi connections, but the full connections that are available. You know, one of the other things I can think of is Amazon Sidewalk. Okay, now that's supposed to be secure, but Amazon Sidewalk's really interesting because it allows other Amazon Sidewalk devices to use your internet connection, to use your network to connect to the internet when they're not at their home network. I always disable Amazon Sidewalk on my accounts whenever I have an Amazon device that I'm using. So that kind of awareness is really what needs to be built up for people, and not just think that, oh, okay, I've installed the device and I'm good.
There's all these internet pooling solutions. If you have Xfinity or Spectrum and you don't deliberately turn it off, if you do just a Wi-Fi search on your phone or whatever, you'll see that there's an Xfinity or a Spectrum or a cable company, a wireless connection out there available for you to connect to. Well, guess what? That's your router, right? Or your neighbor's router or whatever. And that they're just basically sharing that network connection to give themselves a greater mesh across the world. Great idea. You got to talk a little bit about the security part of it. And that's kind of what we're trying to get in your heads today. There's a lot of these different devices out there. You need to look at securing them. War drivers, which is what Ken was talking about, walking around your neighborhood and seeing what's available. That used to be a huge thing. It's still a pretty big thing. I know that I could go around my neighborhood right now and probably have access to half a dozen different suburbia soccer mom networks if I wanted to. I'm too busy to go do that right now, but it is a possibility out there. So I think we're done talking about it. But again, just be very aware of what IoT devices that you have, how they need to be updated, how they need to be secured, and how to protect yourself from these kind of problems. With that, again, thank you for listening today. I hope this has been educational. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to Ken and I on LinkedIn or wherever. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks, Chris and Ken, for all your great insights on today's topic. Make your next podcast awesome when you work with EMA security experts Chris Steffen or Ken Buckler. Educate your prospects, differentiate your solution, and add the credibility of a third-party expert to your message. Visit cybersecurityawesomeness.com to listen to past episodes.